Hallelujah. Well, I hope you brought your King James Bibles because it is time to open the Word of God. Praise the Lord. We are going to be opening our Bibles to Luke chapter 21 to begin with today. And I'm putting a title on this message. We're calling this message, A Way of Escape. Praise God. Now, before we get started, I do just want to update everyone on what's been happening in my life. You could say that May has been a very trying month. Of course, on May 1st, I was diagnosed with diabetes. You all know about that. And on May 3rd, I had my first eye surgery in my right eye. It was actually very painful, and my vision was blurry in my right eye for quite some time. It took about 3 weeks for it to get back to normal, and it's still not completely back to where it was, but it's pretty good. But I underwent surgery in my left eye this last Friday, so once again I find myself with blurry vision and needing to preach. So, but thankfully this last eye surgery went very well. It didn't hurt nearly as much, and it actually went by pretty quickly, and I was only at the doctor's office there for about an hour, but I just marvel, you know, it's pretty amazing. When I went to see the ophthalmologist in Beaver Dam here on May 1st, he was very, very concerned about the retinopathy that he discovered in my eyes, and he wanted to make sure that I got down to see a specialist right away. And, you know, I got an appointment on May 3rd, just 2 days after that, which was kind of amazing, too. And the doctor in Madison, he made it sound like that I was just very much on the verge of going blind and that I was very, very close to that happening. But I just marvel at the Lord's prompting. You know, I woke up on May 1st, and it's just something. I knew I had to go to the eye doctor, and it's a good thing I didn't wait any longer to do it. I believe that was the Lord's protecting hand. I do need my eyes, otherwise I can't really do this job very well. But thankfully, the Lord has helped me, and I do have an appointment to go back to the specialist in 2 months. He's going to check up on me, and they're going to inject me with dye again and take more pictures of my eyes. I'm not particularly looking forward to that, but hopefully I won't need any more surgeries. He may want to give me injections in my eyes at some point, but we'll see how all that goes. Perhaps they won't be necessary, and just keep me in prayer. I would appreciate that so much. And I'm doing everything I can to try to keep my blood sugar down, and it has been slowly dropping, but it does need to go down some more. And also my blood pressure these last 2 days has been too high. I think a lot of that is stress-related because I actually, well, you know, I went to my appointment on Friday, and I told the nurse who took my blood pressure before my treatment, I told him, you know, when I go to a hospital or a doctor's office or anything, I always get really nervous and my blood pressure goes up, especially when you're taking my blood pressure. And he said, yeah, that's called white coat syndrome, and a lot of people have that. So actually, my blood pressure was very high on Friday, too. He took it 3 times, and finally, the 3rd time, it was down lower, and he was kind of relieved by that. But I did check it the last 2 days, and it's been very high, and I do believe that that's probably stress-related because I do have to write a newsletter, and it's been a challenge getting ready for that. I've had to spend a lot of time in front of a computer reading news stories. And, you know, I was even doing some of that on Friday, just a few hours after the surgery. I went home and I took a nap, you know, for probably 2-3 hours. And then I got out my laptop, and Leah walks in. What are you doing? Put that thing away. And I got to read the news. But I spent a lot of time yesterday on that as well. And I think at this point I'm ready to start writing. It's been kind of delayed just because of all of these things, but if you could pray for me about that too, I would appreciate it. I need that to go very well, because I do have a deadline and it's coming up very fast. So praise God. But we are going to open our Bibles this morning to the book of Luke chapter 21. I'm calling this A Way of Escape. And we are going to pray before we read even one verse today. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy goodness and for this opportunity to come before thee, to learn of thee, to learn of thy promises. We thank thee for this precious book that thou hast given us. We thank thee that we are able to read it, to learn it, to absorb it. We pray, Lord, that thou would give us thy spirit of discernment and thy spirit of understanding. Help us, O God, to understand and comprehend thy word, for we know it is only by thy mercy and thy grace that we can understand and comprehend anything. But let thy spirit be upon us. Give us all that precious gift of the Holy Ghost, Lord. We ask that thy spirit would come into us today and teach us, Lord, for we know that the Comforter is the teacher. And we ask, O God, that thou would teach us here today. Help us to be comforted by thy word, Lord. And we pray, Lord, that there would be no hindrances here today, but we pray that thy Spirit would have free course. We bind and we break any force of darkness or any hindering power that would come against us here today, knowing full well that thou art Almighty God and that thou art sovereign. We ask for thy blessing to be here this day. Let everything we do as we look upon his word be according to thy perfect will, and guide us and direct us in all things as we look upon thy scripture today, Lord. Give us ears to hear, eyes to see, hearts that would perceive and understand. And we pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise God. Well, I have something to tell you all today. Something that would no doubt upset a lot of people if they heard me say it. Our planet Earth, that we're living on right now, is dying. Now, this is something that has actually been going on for a while. And the Bible tells us that this planet will die. In fact, Isaiah chapter 51, verse 6 tells us, "Lift up your eyes to the heavens and look upon the earth beneath, for the heavens shall vanish away like smoke, and the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation shall be forever, and my righteousness shall not be abolished." And that's the good news. Even though this planet's days are numbered, God's salvation is assured, and it is never ending. Now, people might think, well, if he's talking about the planet dying, this is probably another one of those downer end of the world messages. Well, it doesn't have to be a downer. And really, it's a strange time we're living in, because I remember as a young boy, my dad used to preach about the end times quite frequently, and he did that for the entirety of his 40-year ministry. And people would criticize him all the time. You know, they'd say, you focus too much on these doom and gloom things. You focus too much on the end of the world. But things are different now. It's not so much the Christian people that are talking about the end of the world anymore. It's the liberals. They keep talking about climate change. They keep talking about extinction of species, which is a problem. A lot of species are dying off. And the reason that's happening is because this planet is, in fact, dying. But these things that they say are coming upon the Earth, what they don't seem to grasp and realize is that it is the judgment of God. The judgment of God, I believe, has already started to fall in this world. And they say climate change is going to get worse and worse. And, you know, you get Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez getting up and saying we only have 12 years to stop climate change. And a whole bunch of people agreeing with her. And, you know, they say we've got to do something to stop climate change. We've got to do something to stop it. But you know what? I do not believe that these scientists and these people, a lot of these wealthy elitists, I do not believe that they think climate change can be stopped. You know why? Because they are looking for a way to escape. Now, I've heard stories of these very rich and wealthy people who are buying up secluded areas in New Zealand. That's one thing that's been going on, and people in New Zealand aren't terribly happy about that. But something I've been seeing more and more of lately are people saying, we're going to have to escape planet Earth and move to outer space. A whole bunch of people are saying that. In fact, I have some articles here. And this one, the headline is, Buzz Aldrin, it's time to focus on the great migration of humankind to Mars. And Buzz Aldrin, of course, they tell us that he was one of the first men to walk on the moon. I'm not sure if I buy that. You know, a lot of theories about whether or not the moon landing was real. But one question I have to ask is if they really did go land on the moon way back then, why is it taking them so long to go back? You know, well, we could do it back then with, you know, less technology than you find in a modern day smartphone. But, you know, it's been a great impediment getting back there. So I'm not so sure I buy this whole they went to the moon thing. And when you know, people say, well, that's a conspiracy theory. You know, yeah, it is, but doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. I mean, I can't prove it. But, you know, when you consider whether or not a conspiracy theory is true, you have to ask yourself, is there any logical reason why it might be true? And in the case of whether or not they faked the moon landing, I think there would be a logical reason to do it, and that is to, you know, supposedly stay ahead of the Russians. But anyway, Buzz Aldrin, one of the men who supposedly went to the moon, walked on the moon, and whether he did or did not, I can't prove it, but I have my suspicions that, you know, they didn't. But it says in this article, Apollo 11 astronaut Buzz Aldrin answers questions during an interview before the unveiling of Lunar Night. And it says, last month, Vice President Mike Pence announced that we are headed back to the moon. I am with him in spirit and aspiration. Having been there, I can say it is high time we returned. When Neil Armstrong, Michael Collins, and I went to the moon 50 years ago this July, we did so with a mission. Apollo 11 aimed to prove America's can-do commitment to space exploration as well as its national security, and technological superiority. We did all that. We also came in peace for all mankind. More of that is needed now. Today, many nations have eyes for the moon, from China and Russia to friends in Europe and Middle East. That is all good. The United States should cooperate and offer itself as a willing team leader in exploring every aspect of the moon, from its geology and topography to its hydrology and cosmic history. In doing so, we can take low Earth orbit cooperation to the moon openly, eagerly, and collegially. It goes on. Meanwhile, another looming orb, the red one, should become a serious focus of U.S. attention. Mars is waiting to be discovered, not by clever robots and rovers, though I support NASA's unmanned missions, but by living, breathing, walking, talking, caring, and daring men and women. To make that happen, members of Congress, the Trump administration, and the American public must care enough to make human exploration missions to Mars a national priority. To be clear, I do not mean spending billions of taxpayer dollars on a few hijinks or joyrides, allowing those who return to write books, tweet photos, and talk of the novelty. I mean something very different. The United States' eyes and our unified commitment should focus on opening the door in our time to the great migration of humankind to Mars. Books aplenty have been written about how to do this, and they have inspired government and non-government leaders to make lofty plans, but plans without a detailed architecture and without that next step into the future are just fantasy. And it goes on, continues on for a little while. It's a sort of a lengthy article. I'm not going to read the whole thing because I have some other things to read too, but he says, we, as humanity, have to move to Mars. Why? Why is he saying that? Because they know something that a lot of people are in denial about, and that is that this planet is dying. And they're trying to outsmart God. They're trying to outrun God. Well, I got news for them. Even if they did make it to Mars, God made Mars too. But it's really interesting. You know, you got these very, very wealthy men, these billionaires, and they are extraordinarily concerned with getting to outer space. They've got Elon Musk, the guy who's behind those Tesla cars that the rich people seem to love so much. And he used to be involved with PayPal. But he also has a company called SpaceX, and they are working on getting ready to go out into outer space. You have Jeff Bezos of Amazon, who is getting ready. He owns a space exploration company as well. He's getting ready to send people up into space, and they're saying they're going to start doing that possibly even this year. And Richard Branson, who is known for Virgin Airlines and Virgin Mobile and all these Virgin companies, he also has a company called Virgin Galactic. And he is also planning to shoot people up into space. They're planning to start these space tourism things. And at the very first, what they're going to do is shoot people up in a rocket just to the very edge of space. And then you'll be there for a few minutes, and then it falls back down to Earth. And that's their plan. And, you know, when they start doing these trips up into space, I would really just love to maybe start a GoFundMe or something to shoot one of those flat earthers up there so they can see, I guess, the Earth is round. But this article here, it says, space tourism enters home stretch toward commercial flight. Billionaire Richard Branson is moving Virgin Galactic's winged passenger rocket and more than 100 employees from California to a remote commercial launch and landing facility in southern New Mexico, bringing his space tourism dream a step closer to reality. Branson said Friday at a news conference that Virgin Galactic's development and testing program has advanced enough to make the move to the custom-tailored hangar and runway at the taxpayer-financed Spaceport America facility near the town of Truth or Consequences. Virgin Galactic CEO George Whiteside said a small number of flight tests are pending. He declined to set a specific deadline for the first commercial flight. An interior cabin for the company's space rocket is being tested, and pilots and engineers are among the employees relocating from California to New Mexico. The move to New Mexico puts the company in the home stretch, Whiteside said. The manufacturing of the space vehicles by a sister enterprise, the Spaceship Company, will remain based in the community of Mojave, California. Taxpayers invested over $200 million in Spaceport America after Branson and then Governor Bill Richardson, a Democrat, pitched the plan for the facility with Virgin Galactic as the anchor tenant. Virgin Galactic spaceship development has taken far longer than expected and had a major setback when the company's first experimental craft broke apart during a 2014 test flight, killing the co-pilot. Well, I don't know if anyone's actually going to want to ride in this thing then. But it goes on to say, Branson thanked New Mexico politicians and residents for their patience over the past decade. He said he believes space tourism, once aloft, is likely to bring about profound change. And this is what he went on to say. Our future success as a species rests on the planetary perspective, Branson said. The perspective that we know comes sharply into focus when that planet is viewed from the black sky of space. In other words, what he's saying is the future of humanity rests on our ability to colonize space. He's not the only person saying this. And, of course, Jeff Bezos, he's taking a little bit of a different tack. He's saying, you know, we have to move to outer space because this world's obviously not going to make it. But what he wants to do is make floating colonies in space that people live on rather than trying to get to Mars. So he has a plan, and I don't know if I'm going to read this article. It's quite lengthy, but you know, it says Jeff Bezos has plans to extract the moon's water. They think there's water on the moon, and they're going to take it and use that to provide water for their special space colonies. Now, these people, they're freaking out. They're saying we got to find a way of escape. Yeah. We got to leave this Earth. We got to go live in space. Because this planet's not going to make it. They really, truly do not believe that the Earth is going to survive. And you know what? They're right. But it's kind of interesting, this time we live in, you know, so many professing Christians, now that Donald Trump has been elected president, they seem to think that the end times are canceled, you know. Everything's going to be good. We got nothing to worry about now. No, the end times are still on. They have not been canceled. It's still going to happen. This world is still going to end. We're going to read Luke chapter 21 today. And we're going to start in verse 1, which tells us, And he looked up, and this is talking about Jesus, and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither 2 mites. And he said, Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. And that must have sounded strange to his disciples, because she only threw in 2 mites. That wasn't very much money at all. But it was all that she had. Verse 4, For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offering of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Sometimes it may seem like people aren't giving very much, but it might be all that they have. And God sees that. God knows when we give, and He knows the circumstances. He knows sometimes what a sacrifice it is to give, and sometimes it's hard to do. It was very hard for this woman to do, but she did it, obviously, because she loved God. And Jesus saw that. Now, verse 5 tells us, And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts, he said, As for these things which ye behold, the days will come in the which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And if you can imagine their reaction, well, that must be the end of the world. In fact, in Matthew chapter 24, which is the companion chapter to this one, they actually ask specifically when the temple would be destroyed and when the world would end, because they equated that with one event. They believed that if the temple was destroyed, the world had to end. Because how could you worship God without the temple? But our God dwelleth not in temples made with hands. In fact, He dwells inside His people. We are the temple of God. He doesn't need a building. Praise God. You know, in the Old Covenant, people used to travel great distances to get to that temple. But now, Jesus comes to us. And I tell you what, that's far better. That is far better. So he told them there wouldn't be one stone left upon another, that they would all be thrown down. And that did come to pass in 70 AD. The Roman Empire came in and they destroyed that temple. They sacked Jerusalem, which, by the way, was judgment from God. Of course, now they have that Western Wall, that Wailing Wall that they claim was part of the temple, but you know, it probably only has a few stones that were actually from the temple. Who knows? But you know, they try, because they loved that temple so much, they tried to preserve as much as they can. But Jesus prophesied that it would be destroyed, and it was. And you know why that temple was destroyed? Because of their rejection of him. Because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. He told them, your house is left unto you desolate. God left that place. His spirit used to dwell in that temple. But he left that place. And after that, it was just a building. Now, there were still remarkable things that happened at the temple when the disciples were there and the apostles and so forth. And that's because God was dwelling in the disciples and the apostles, not because he was there in the temple. So here he tells them, and when Jesus says something is going to happen, rest assured, it is going to happen every time. Verse 7, and they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. You know, ever since Jesus Christ left this earth in bodily form, he's still with us in spirit, but when he left it in bodily form, there have been men rising up over the course of the last 2,000 years professing to be, claiming to be Jesus Christ. And whenever they do that, don't fall for it, because when Jesus does come back, you're going to know it, everyone's going to know it, because there won't be a next day. That's an easy way to tell. Did Jesus come back? Well, is there a next day? Then he didn't. But people might wonder, you know, you talk about all these men who claim to be Jesus. How about an example, Pastor? All right, I've got one for you. This is a story about a vile, vile man named Louis Farrakhan, leader of the Nation of Islam, which, by the way, it's not the same thing as Islam. It's a different kind of a offshoot religion, and he kind of tries to meld together parts of Islam and also parts of Christianity. And he's very, very, very extremely racist, by the way. He's a black man, but he absolutely hates white people. Of course, you know, some of the liberals nowadays, they say it's impossible for a black person to be racist. Have you ever heard that one? I have, and it's ridiculous. Anyone who hates someone else because of the color of their skin is a racist. And that can work both ways. Now, the headline for this article says, Farrakhan claims to be Jesus in Savior's Day address. And this, oh man, this is so blasphemous. I have to wonder how the Lord refrains from just smiting this man down in his tracks. Some of the things he says, it's just unbelievable. Nation of Islam leader Louis Farrakhan, who has reportedly led a chant of death to America and recently called for a separate state for black Americans, has made more controversial comments claiming to be Jesus and clarifying his anti-Termite statement. Of course, he was talking about white people and so forth when he called them termites. Farrakhan made many shocking claims during Nation of Islam's Savior's Day keynote address in February at the United Center Arena in Chicago. He told Representative Ilhan Omar, She's one of those new Muslim representatives. You have nothing to apologize for. And he praised her fellow colleague for freshman Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Of course, he would praise both of those women because neither of them are white. You know, he hates whitey. But it goes on to say, the preacher of Islam then appeared to mock one of the most famous passages from the Bible, John 3:16. And this is what he said. This is his quote. Quote, God does not love this world. God never sent Jesus to die for this world. Jesus died because he was 2,000 years too soon to bring about the end of the civilization of the Jews. He never was on a cross. There was no Calvary for that. Jesus, Farrakhan said. Now, wasn't that blasphemous? Instead, he said, Jesus' name would live until the one that came that he was prefigured for. In other words, he's saying that Jesus was prefigured for him. He goes on to say, the real story is what I tried to tell you from the beginning. It didn't happen back there. It's happening right while you're alive looking at it. I represent the Messiah. I represent the Jesus. And I am that Jesus. If I am not, take my life. Well, it's coming. It's coming. But, you know, that's just one example. And there are many other men who have made that same claim that they're Jesus. But that is so blasphemous. But, you know, there's always going to be men like that. Let's continue on in Luke chapter 21. Verse 8, and he said, take heed that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near, go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. And there have been a lot of wars and commotions over the last 2,000 years. There's a lot of wars and commotions right now, a lot of potential wars, rumors of wars, I guess you could call them. And, you know, they're talking about sending the U.S. military down to Venezuela because that leader down there, Maduro, he refuses to give up his position there. And there's that other guy who just one day decided he was going to take over. And it just, the whole thing's a mess. And so they're talking about sending in American troops. And they haven't done that yet, but they're talking about it. And then, of course, right now, there's this big dust-up with Iran, and they're talking about war with Iran now. And, you know, Iran's mobilizing their soldiers, moving them closer to Americans, and it's very nasty right now. There's a lot of potential for war. And, of course, you know, in Venezuela, Trump and the American government, they're very upset because Venezuela, they're getting help from the Russians, and they're getting help from Cuba. And by the way, Russia and Cuba seem to be getting back together now, too, like they were in the Cold War. And it's almost as if they're reviving the Cold War, and they're making all sorts of deals, and who knows, at some point, Russia might even want to put weapons on Cuba again. It's, you know, it's very tense right now. There are wars and commotions. But what did Jesus tell us? When ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified. Praise God. You don't have to be terrified when you hear about these things, because we serve Almighty God, and people can only do what God allows them to do. We can take great comfort in that. But it says, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. There are other things that were going to happen besides wars and commotions. Then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines, and pestilences, and fearful sights, and great signs shall there be from heaven. And there are earthquakes. There are so many earthquakes that they never even talk about them anymore unless it's something really catastrophic in a highly populated area. But the earth rumbles almost constantly every day. If you ever look up the earthquake tracker, there are, you know, earthquakes happening almost every hour, it seems like, somewhere in the world. The world is just constantly rumbling. And sometimes there's thousands of earthquakes over a one-month period. But you don't really hear about that too much. And they are in diverse places, by the way. They're all over the world. Famines, yes, there's some of that too. But right now, there's an even bigger problem. There's so much flooding in this world. And not just in the United States, but other places, Iran and other places, they've got too much water. But there's famine too, and pestilences. Of course, Ebola is still running rampant in the Congo, the Democratic Republic of the Congo in Africa. They've got Ebola. They can't seem to stop it. They've had over 1,000 deaths now and climbing. And now there's something else. In China, they have a disease that's very similar to Ebola, but it affects pigs. They're calling it pig Ebola. And all of these animals have this pestilence, so they've had to kill thousands upon thousands of pigs, which I believe is judgment from God because of all the reprehensible things they're doing in China. By the way, Joe Biden recently said that China's no threat to the United States, and he said they're good people. You know, they are not good people. I mean, there's some good people there, but when I say they're not good people, I'm referring to the Chinese Communist government. You need to understand that. There are a lot of Christians in China. I'm not saying that everyone in China is bad, but the Communist government is evil and rotten to the core. But, yes, there's pestilences, and you hear about new pestilences all the time, superbugs that they can't stop. They don't know what to do. People are dying. And they say, you know, by the year 2050, these superbugs could kill 10 million people a year. Fearful sights and great signs shall there be from heaven. You know, I'm going to see if I can find it. There's a article that I thought was very interesting. It says, NASA chief warns meteors are a threat to the planet. Of course, I think we already knew that. Meteors hitting the planet are never a good thing. But this is an interesting article. This talks about a meteor that hit the Earth, I believe, back in 2013 in Russia. It says, this is not about Hollywood. It's not about movies. This is about ultimately protecting the only planet we know right now to host life, said a man named Jim Bridenstine. Bridenstine talked about a February 2013 meteor that exploded over Russia. That meteor blast shook Russia's Ural region. More than 1,000 people were injured, including more than 200 children, according to news reports. Many people were hit by flying glass when windows shattered from the sonic boom that followed the meteor's explosion. It was brighter in the sky than the sun at that point when it entered Earth's atmosphere, and people could feel the heat from this object from 62 kilometers away, Bridenstine said. When it finally exploded 18 miles above the surface, it had 30 times the energy of the atomic bomb at Hiroshima, he said, adding it damaged buildings in 6 cities. More than 4,000 buildings, mostly apartment blocks, were damaged, and 200,000 square meters, or 2.2 million square feet, of glass were broken. And that was just one. And who knows, as the judgment of God starts to fall a little more intensely, there might be more meteors hitting this planet. So yes, we see great signs in the heavens, don't we? Verse 12, but before all these, they shall... And he's saying now that things are going to happen before all of this happens. Because remember, if you read Matthew chapter 24, they're really asking not only when the temple would be destroyed, but when the end of the world would come. And now he's going to answer the part about when the temple's destroyed. But it says in verse 12, but before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And a lot of that did go on in the young Christian church, and yet Christianity only got stronger and stronger in the face of persecution. But it's kind of interesting because something similar is happening right now in China. This article says, Chinese city pays citizens $1,500 to be a mini-Judas and turn in Christians. It says, China's crackdown on Christianity escalated March 20th when the government of the fifth largest city began issuing rewards to those who report illegal religious activities, including house church meetings. Oh, they'll let you go to the official churches that are endorsed by Communist China, but those won't do you any good. It's the house churches that they're concerned about. The Bureau of Ethics and Religious Affairs in Guangzhou said it would reward prizes of 3,000, 5,000, and 10,000 won, or $450, $750, and $1,500 to Chinese citizens who spot and turn in their neighbors to government officials, according to Asia News. The size of the prize will depend on the scale of the illegal activity. All churches in China are required to register with the government. Some churches, though, face severe restrictions in how they worship and practice their faith. Because of this, millions of Chinese Christians worship underground. So that's happening in China now. They are bribing these people to turn on the Christians and turn them in. What a world. So what Jesus said in verse 12 here in Luke chapter 21 shouldn't be a surprise. But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. And of course, as I said before, he's specifically talking about what would happen before the temple was destroyed. But we still see similar things happening in places like China. Verse 13. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts, not to meditate before what ye shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. Isn't that wonderful? Because sometimes people are all mouth and no wisdom. But here Jesus is saying, I will give you a mouth and wisdom. And notice here, he says, I. Jesus is the one who does it because the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Verse 16, and ye shall be betrayed, both by parents and brethren and kinsfolk and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. Now Jesus here, he did say that some of these people would die, but they didn't really die. They just went to their reward a little sooner than maybe anticipated. But there are others that he is going to sustain miraculously. Even in the face of persecution. Even saying in verse 18, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. And you know what? He knows how many we have, too. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Oh, that day came to pass. In 70 AD, that temple was destroyed. Jerusalem was sacked. And what does Jesus say here? Those were days of vengeance. That was their punishment for rejecting the Messiah. That was their punishment for rejecting Jesus Christ. Verse 23, but woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days, for there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And now it's going to talk about the things that would happen after Jerusalem was destroyed. And that includes our time period today. Verse 25, and there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Oh, we are seeing amazing things. Distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, absolutely. We are seeing such things. I saw this report yesterday. It says, some of April's costly storms, U.S. tornadoes, Canada floods, Mozambique cyclone. It says, some of April's natural catastrophes included an elevated number of tornadoes in the United States, the strongest cyclone to hit Mozambique on record, and costly seasonal flooding eastern Canada that inundated nearly 10,000 homes, according to Aon's latest monthly global catastrophe recap report. Isn't it something that they have to put out a global catastrophe recap report? Regarding U.S. storm events during April, the report noted that nearly 250 tornadoes touched down, the most for the month of April since 2011, which will have an economic cost in the multiple billions of dollars. The report provided a list of some of April's U.S. storms, including from April 13th to the 15th, a major tornado outbreak swept across southern and eastern sections of the U.S., killing at least 9 people and causing widespread damage. The outbreak was marked by 70 tornado touchdowns, up to baseball-sized hail and damaging straight-line winds gusting to 100 miles per hour across the hardest-hit states of Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, and further eastward into the Midwest, Southeast, and Mid-Atlantic. Total economic losses were estimated at up to U.S. $925 million, with insurance covering approximately U.S. $700 million of the cost. And there was another one. There's another tornado outbreak between April 17th and through the 19th. And there was another wave of severe weather that struck from April 23rd to 25th, and all of these storms happening, major floods in Canada. Of course, there's plenty of flooding here in the United States. Cyclones, and pretty soon we'll probably be having hurricanes. Oh, yes. It certainly seems like there's more extreme weather than there used to be. And, of course, what do they say? Climate change, right? Well, I say it's the judgment of God. But verse 27 tells us, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And here is the really exciting verse. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Praise God. You see, we don't have to be afraid and we don't have to be distressed when we see these things happening. It means Jesus is coming.
Amen. Yes,
it's on. Verse 29. And he spake to them a parable, behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. And of course that means the generation under consideration, which means the generation at the end of the world. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Oh, this planet may be dying, but not the words of the Lord. They are eternal. Verse 34. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness. And surfeiting is a word that really just refers to overindulgence in either food or drink, and being excessively drunken, often to the point of you're sickened by it, or you eat too much and you have a bellyache, or you drink too much and you have a major hangover, or you're vomiting all over the place. That's what surfeiting is, in case you were wondering. But verse 34 says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. And that's interesting, too. What would most people's reaction be in this world if you told them the planet was dying? Well, they'd probably want to go out and get drunk. But these things, they can distract us from what's truly important. Our focus should be on the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice here, it's not just drunkenness that can distract people, but cares of this life. That's another tactic that the devil likes to use to try to get you off the track. To try to get you to look away from Jesus. He will use the cares of this life to do that. But don't worry. Yes, we have cares in this life. We have trouble. I think we've all learned that this year. We have trouble. But the Lord will bring us through. The Lord will carry us through. Verse 35, for as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. When Jesus comes, nobody's going to be expecting it. Now watch verse 36. It tells us, watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. How can we escape? Well, there is a way of escape. And that way of escape is the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, what did he say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Trying to move to Mars isn't the answer. But putting our faith, our hope, our trust in the Lord Jesus, that is the solution. That is the answer. And even though we're not really worthy of his mercy and his grace, and we're not really worthy to escape these horrible things that are falling upon the earth, if we put our faith and our trust in him, if we repented of our sins, if we've been buried in his name, if we've been obedient to his call, he accounts us worthy. Accounts us worthy. And that's a wonderful thing, to be accounted worthy. And you know, when God comes back and this world is set ablaze, he's going to take us before that. It's not a secret rapture. It's going to be a very loud event. Everyone's going to see it. And it's going to be right at the end of the world. In fact, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13 tell us, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." And that's the good news, folks. You see, he's making a new one for us. He's making a new one for us. We don't have to go to Mars because he's making us a new heavens and a new earth. Praise the Lord. Verse 37 in Luke 21. "And then in the daytime he was preaching in the temple, and at night he went out and abode in the mount that is called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came in the morning to him in the temple for to hear him." And I can't believe how quickly time has gone by. There are some other scriptures I'd like to cover. Hopefully I have time to do it. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Remember, Jesus told us to watch and pray that we be accounted worthy. That's one of the ways you can be sure that you'll be accounted worthy. If you stay watchful, if you stay prayerful, watch and pray and be obedient to hit the prompting of His Spirit. Don't get distracted by this world. Don't let this world blow you off course. Don't let this world stop you from following Jesus and keeping your eyes fixed on Him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 1, tells us, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea when they passed over the Red Sea." That was a form of baptism. Verse 3, "And did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink? God gave them manna from heaven, and he gave them water from a rock. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Yes, Jesus Christ was there in the Old Testament too. Praise God. Because God can take on any form that he wants to take on. And you will find examples of him in the Old Testament. Jesus. Verse 5, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, for the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." Oh, they made a lot of mistakes. Those Israelites who came out of Egypt, they should have known better. Verse 8, "Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Now there's a verse that most people wouldn't like if they knew what it meant. But we live in a world today where fornication is considered normal. And the majority of the population today does it. And if you don't do it, they look at you like you're the weird one. But the scriptures tell us not to fornicate. People don't take that seriously anymore, do they? They go around, they fornicate, and they still claim to be Christians. Verse 9, "Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for in samples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed, lest he fall." Oh, we need to make sure that we are firmly planted on that rock, Christ Jesus. And that we don't look to the right or to the left, but that we firmly are focused on the Lord Jesus. He can make sure that we never fall as long as we don't look away. Verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. All of these challenges we face in this world, all of the temptations we face, God will give you the strength to bear it. And he can do that. Jesus can do that for us, because when Jesus was here on earth, when it was God manifest in the flesh, but he had that humanity suffered temptation, and not just when he was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, but the scriptures tell us he was tempted again later in some things we don't even know about. But Jesus, the man, endured all that temptation so that we can have the strength to endure temptation as well. And there are many types of temptation. And I've mentioned this before, but sometimes people are just tempted to give up. They see all the things happening in the world, they get frustrated, they just want to give up. There's a temptation to do that. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Oh, he gives us the strength to endure till the end. We know, we see the things that are coming upon this world. We know what Jesus said. We know his words are true. But he will give us the strength to carry us through, no matter what happens. And he has given us a way to escape. Praise the Lord. So what is that way? It's the Lord Jesus. It always has been the Lord Jesus. Always will be the Lord Jesus. I'm not looking to start a new life on Mars or some space colony out there. That's ridiculous. But these people are panicked. They don't know what to do. Thankfully, we do know what to do. Watch and pray and look for your Savior. That's the best thing you can do. Watch and pray. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close with a prayer. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this morning, thanking thee for thy promises. We thank thee for thy word and the encouragement that we find in it. We pray, Lord, that thou would strengthen thy people, give us the ability to endure. We lay hold on thy promise that thou art with us and that thou won't let us have more than we can bear in this world. But we pray, O God, that we would all abound in thy strength, in thy love, and have a firm foundation on thee. Help us, O God, to build our lives upon thee. Help us to always be obedient to thee. Give us all that precious gift of the Holy Ghost, and help each and every one of us to walk with thee for the entirety of our lives, day and night. Help us to be mindful of thee always, and we pray, Lord, that thou would carry us through the coming storms of this life. We pray this in Jesus' name, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Well, we're going to sing a chorus in closing. Why don't we turn to number 78 and sing Keep on Walking by Faith? Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know he won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on.
He's walking right beside me, and I'm walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name. Thank you.